the change when a person finds Jesus Christ as his Saviour. It was my joy and privilege to be at the Christian youth camp at Piova just before Christmas, and a number of young people came down from Maribor, and they put on an evening down there, musical evening for the children at camp, and we enjoyed the evening very much. Maribor Assembly has been blessed of late with many people coming in and finding the Lord Jesus as Saviour. Most of them have come in off the street. They've been tied up with drugs and down and out and this sort of thing. And it's such a joy to see these people who have found deliverance and able to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, one young fellow in particular really struck me. He had a T-shirt on, and on the front of his T-shirt he had "Only a Sinner Saved by Grace." And these young people, they fearlessly go around the streets talking to others who are sitting in the township, not having anything to do, and witnessing to them. And as a result, these young ones are being brought in and they have been gloriously saved. It's brought really new life into the assembly, getting back to fundamentals and rejoicing together over what the Lord has done. So instead of singing our opening hymn, because it's not in our hymn book, I'm going to read this one from the Alexander hymn book. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I had sought since Jesus came into my heart. I have ceased from my wandering and going astray since Jesus came into my heart. And my sins, which were many, are washed away since Jesus came into my heart. And the last verse is, I shall go there to dwell in that city I know since Jesus came into my heart. I am happy, so happy as onward I go since Jesus came into my heart. And that is the song of each one who has found the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour. And so tonight, later on, we're going to look at two particular people and then three groups of people, if time will spare us, and have a look at the difference in their lives since Jesus came into their heart. We're going to look at two men and then three groups of people, if time will spare. First of all, we want to have a look at the deliverance of a man who was possessed with an evil spirit. This phenomenon has been on the increase within our land. When I was a young fellow, we often heard of missionaries who came back from Africa or South America and they told of demon possession. But in recent days, we have heard quite a bit about this within our own land. In the time of our Lord Jesus Christ, there seemed to be an upsurge in this particular event. And I have a feeling that as the day of grace is coming towards a close, when our Lord will come, it would seem that the power of the evil one is again manifesting himself in the lives of human beings. Shall we turn in our Bibles to the Gospel by Mark? The Gospel by Mark, chapter 5. Reading from verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadareans. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. Notice that, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" He answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the pigs. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, "Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and had had compassion on thee." And he departed. We'll leave it there. Here is a man, a poor man which had been possessed with an unclean spirit. This man was in dire straits. He had the spirit that was tormenting him, the spirit that was tearing him apart, the spirit that would cause him to cut himself, the spirit that gave him untold strength. For we read that he broke chains and tore the fetters apart. And to me this would speak of the awfulness of sin, how degrading sin is, how it causes a man and a woman, a boy and girl, to be tormented and not doing the right things, minds blowing asunder. Just over the last Christmas period, while holidaying down at the coast, I was staying in the caravan park in our caravan. And in the laneway there were some permanent residents there and others who had been down for the holiday, but in amongst these permanent residents, mainly young people, they were living in various vans, and I was just happened to be putting water in my caravan one day, and this fellow came up seemingly drunk. He was brought home, driven home by one of his friends. The door was opened and this poor fellow just fell out on the ground. And the driver picked him up and helped him around a bit and let him go, and down he went again, just into a heap. And he was left there for some time, and eventually he was able to sort of stagger around and he came up to see me. And as I was putting the water in the caravan, he came and said, "Listen, mate, I'll turn the tap off for you when it's full." In that sort of manner he spoke, is fairly stammering. And I said, "Thank you very much." So I saw this as an opportunity to have a talk with this young fellow, a young lad, about 22, I suppose, 23. So he turned the water off, and then I went over to him and had a yarn with him. And he was telling me something about his life history, coming from down near Newcastle. And this fellow didn't smell of drink. And I said to him, "What is wrong?" He said, "There's nothing wrong." But then I happened to notice in his arm there was a little swelling here with a blood spot. And I knew straight away what he had been doing. His life was a complete wreck because of this habit that he had fallen into. He had no control of it over his life. And in speaking to him, he spoke about the unhappiness within his own life. Trying to seek satisfaction. Trying to get peace. He had a relationship with a young lady, but that fell through because of this habit that he had got himself into. And all he wanted was peace and satisfaction. And I was able to share with him the Lord Jesus. But alas, he just couldn't grasp what it was all about. He said, "I can see that you've got something that I haven't. But within me," he said, "there's nothing that I can do." His life was just under the control of this drug. I went down to see him next day, but he had gone. I don't know where he had gone to. He just wasn't there. A poor young man, a fine stammer of a young man, just starting to waste away because his life was given over to something that was not clean. And his life was under the control of this particular drug. And he could find no solution. He was looking for peace. Here is this man that we've read about in the scriptures, seeking for peace. Because when he saw the Lord, he went straight to him. In this we can see the awfulness of sin. Notice where he was dwelling, in the mountains and among the tombs. What a desperate plight is in a person's life when he has to resort to that type of living. Sin separates. Thirdly, he was exceedingly fierce. Sin destroys the gentleness of human life and the joy that is in human life. Gentleness is one of the characteristics of the indwelling of the Spirit of God. I also notice, if we read through in the other gospel, this man wore very few, if any, clothes at all. He was virtually naked. And this, again, to me, is another state of sin. Sin makes men shameless. There is no shame in the condition of their dress. There is a lack of modesty. And again, we read that he was crying and cutting himself. Self-inflicted misery. This is how degrading sin is and how it had pulled this man down. If you can visualize him, down and out. Sometimes the expression is used on skid row, or he's on the skids. Well, this man was on the skids and he had come virtually to the end. But a wonderful, wonderful change came into this man's life. And there we can see the change because of the power of the Lord Jesus. This one who was sinless, who knew no sin, this one who was God dwelling with us. And so because the Lord Jesus is God, he was able to change this person's life. He was able to cast out the evil spirit, and there we can see the power in the word of the Lord Jesus. Because at the word of the Lord, this unclean spirit came out of this man. No one can resist the word of the Lord Jesus. And the gospel, my dear friend, has the same power, for we read in the book of Romans that the gospel is God's power unto salvation to everyone who believes. The power of the gospel. And this is the unrestrained force that God has dwelling amongst men. The power of the gospel. It has power to change the lives. It has power to lift from the deepest dungeon, from the bottom of the skid, and bring a man up and let him stand in power and in strength and in cleanliness. Now, how was this man changed? First of all, a rest came into his life because he came and he sat at the foot of the Saviour. Instead of going around and being tormented and cutting himself, chains were nothing to him, fetters were nothing. He was able to break these, but once he came under the power of the Lord Jesus, there we see this man at rest. Peace again in his life. He was clothed in the garments of salvation, a man changed. And more than that, he was in his right mind. That's something that he knew nothing of. His mind was restless. It was being torn apart. But now he was in his right mind. And lastly, we notice that he had a desire to be with Christ. So there you can see the change in this man. From one who was away from the Lord Jesus. When he saw him, he came to him and he wanted to be with him. And the Lord Jesus then sent him off and he witnessed to the saving and delivering power that Christ had bestowed upon him. Right, now the next man I want to have a look at is a man who was changed again, and a marvellous change, and that is Paul, Saul of the book of Acts, Acts chapter 9. To a lot of us here who are Christians, we know a lot about the conversion of Saul and how he became the Apostle Paul and the great servant of the Lord. But perhaps to some here tonight, I want to share with you this man and the change that came into his heart and into his life. Acts chapter 9 and reading from verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. There, now we have a picture of this man, Saul. He was out and he was breathing out threatenings and slaughtering the disciples of the Lord. Went in unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if any he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard the voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Verse 6, And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, neither did he eat or drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him and the Lord in a vision. To him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. He said, Behold, here I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. And Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man. His fame was well known, how much evil he had done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Here is this man, and he felt that these Christians were causing a lot of problems. They were upsetting the whole community, and he did not know the power of God in his life. And he took it upon himself to go and arrest these people who were witnessing to the power of the Lord Jesus. They were going around spreading the gospel, the good news. And this man, Saul, would take hold of these people and bind them and persecute them and bring them in before the courts. This is the nature of this person's life. But the Lord spoke to him in a miraculous way, as we read here. And indeed, in three instances in the book of Acts, Paul does testify to his conversion. The Lord spoke to him. The Lord came and spoke to him while he travelled to Damascus, and he said to this man, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Not the Christians, not the people that he was arresting, but the voice said to him, You are persecuting me. And it was the voice of the Lord. Paul answered to him, Lord, acknowledge straight away who it was that was speaking to him. And this man, Saul, then, under the power of the Spirit, acknowledged the Lord as his master. And he said, Lord, what will you have me to do? And so the change in this man's life was from one that was going around persecuting the Christians, arresting Christians, having them put to death. He then became the Apostle Paul, the one of whom we read so often in the New Testament. The letters to the New Testament churches were so often written by him. And under the power of the Spirit, he went around and he preached the gospel, and many people were gloriously saved. He changed from one that was persecuting Christians to one who won people for Christ. In other words, making them Christians. There again is a demonstration of the power of God, the power of the Lord Jesus to change a person's life. Have you experienced this power in your life? Have you heard the voice of God calling you and asking you to turn from sin? Has the voice of God asked you to repent? And perhaps you have put it off so many times, but tonight the voice of the Lord is calling again. Turn and come unto me, and I will give you rest. A changed life. Moving on very quickly then, because our time is going, perhaps before we look into the churches, I want to just make a few comparisons with the change that took place. I want you to note that God initiated the change. As it was with this man that was demon-possessed, he came down to the Lord and the Lord changed him. The Lord came to this man's place. Saul going on to Damascus, God initiated the change. That as he journeyed to Damascus, he stopped him in his way. And God, through the Holy Spirit, is the one that initiates the change in a person's life. Think of the eunuch. God initiated the change in that man's life, a man who had journeyed over from Egypt, from Africa, and come across. God initiated the change because he told Philip to stop and head down towards where this man was coming, and the two met. What about the Philippian jailer? Paul was in jail and in chains. And they were singing praises. And then at midnight, God initiated an event that changed the jailer's life, the man that was looking after the prisoners. He caused a great earthquake to come. God initiated that change. The Saviour is revealed to those who want to turn from sin. It is through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour of the world, that the change takes place. Because it is the Lord Jesus who has paid the price for sin. Perhaps in most of our lives, the revealing of the Lord Jesus was not as powerful as it was to Saul. But I can remember the time when I gave my heart and life to the Lord, that in a room by myself, the Lord Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, spoke very forcibly to me. Again, there is repentance. And there is faith. There is confession to each one who participates in that change. Just think of this dark man again from Africa. As soon as he was saved, he confessed the Lord Jesus by being baptized. Peter spoke to him, and as soon as he was saved, he said, "Now here is water. What's hindering me from being baptized?" And immediately they both went down into the water, and the eunuch was baptized. What about the jailer? We're speaking about him. He was saved and his house, we read. And I believe that they were adults. And as soon as he was saved, we read that he was baptized. There was a witness, there was a confession. And to those of us in our meeting here this evening who have put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, how is the witness? How is the testimony? The witness should take place in God's way. He wants us to be followers of him. And we read then concerning these people who accepted the Lord, the ones who had witnessed, we read that they went on their way rejoicing. There was joy and testimony within their life, and they continued in their witness of the Lord. We don't read of people being saved and then not witnessing and sort of falling away again and then being saved again and going along like the waves on an ocean. No. Because when a person puts their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, that is for all time. There is a permanency within the family of God. We are in his hand. We are safe and secure in him. Now, let's turn over then to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I'm just going to have a very brief look now at these three groups of people. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, within Corinth, just to put us in the picture of what was going on there, in those days, as there is in most of our cities today, there was a real departing from the things of God. There was, in a lot of places, there was idolatry, there was immorality, there was idol worship, there was a lot of fighting, and so on. Let's read from verse number 9. "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, or adulterers, or effeminate, or abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you." Now here is, he's talking to these Christians within the Corinthian church. And some of them were practicing these things. But, what does he go on to say? but ye are washed. Ye are sanctified, that means set apart by the Spirit of God, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Justified means put right before our God. So here is a group of people. See what they had been doing. They were despisers of themselves. They were immoral. They were abusers of mankind. There was theft, drunkards, revilers, and so on. But now, Paul says, you've left this, but now you have been cleaned. You have been washed by the Spirit. You have been set apart by the Spirit of God. You are justified. There is a complete turning around, a change. And that is what is meant by repentance. A complete turning around. And so when a person comes and accepts Jesus Christ as Saviour, there must be that turning around. Something that is entirely different. Thinking about this, it's interesting, you know. When we are born, within our nature, there is that ability to do things that are wrong. But we find that as we journey on through life, we start doing these things that are not right. We start telling lies at school. We start cheating from the person beside us. We start using bad language, and we do these things and do that. We don't start off perfect and then start doing things that are wrong. We are wrong, and we need to be changed. You see, as the Bible teaches, that we all have that old nature, that old life, Adam's sin, dwelling within us. The Bible calls it our old nature, our old life. But through the Spirit of God now we can be changed and things made right before God. And so there the Corinthians then, they have been changed. They have been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Just over a few pages. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verses 8 to 10. First Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 8. And from you sounded out the word of the Lord not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place you spread your faith toward God, or Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. And I believe that speaks of the tribulation. In our Bible class this morning, we were thinking a little bit about this. And here are the Thessalonians, that it is recorded of them that they went around speaking and witnessing concerning what had taken place in their life. But also in every place, your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God. How they had turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. There was that turning around in their life. Idol worship, we read in the Bible, is an abomination to the Lord. And so these people had left that behind and they had turned to serve the living God. And lastly, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, that's their past life. Notice that what they were doing, they were walking according to the course of the world, they were under the power of the evil spirit, they were disobedient, and so on. But verse 4, here is the difference. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, or made us alive together with Christ, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And here are the Christians at Ephesus, speaking about how in times past they walked according to the course of this world, but God, because of his rich mercy and his grace towards them, he had changed their walk and their life, so that they now serve the living and true God, so that they are now waiting, or they were now waiting, for the coming of the Lord Jesus, that they might be delivered from the wrath which is to come. Have you given your heart and life to the Lord Jesus, so that when God comes in judgment, that you will not be here in the time of God's wrath being poured out upon this world?